You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
QTS is building more than a data center in Dane County. We're partnering with Alliant Energy to enable 750 megawatts of new renewable energy sources, supporting sustainable generation while lowering costs. We use a closed-loop, water-free cooling system that conserves billions of gallons of water each year. And we're investing millions locally, from scholarships and workforce development to nonprofits and first responders. QTS, powered by people, driven by purpose. Paid for by QTS.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to Macro, Micro and Small Cap News on Thursday, the 18th of December, 2025. After today, there's 3.5 trading days until Christmas, 6 trading days until the new year. 2026, that is, of course, just in case you're wondering. I don't know why I said that. You know, generally, you know, 26 comes after 25 in traditional maths. Anyway, let's get into some macro. The Bank of England, of course, you've probably seen this, has reduced interest rates by the expected 0.25 percentage point, bringing rates to 3.75. Where's the tipping point, eh? When people no longer put their money in money market funds, all that stuff, and put it into the stock market. Well, do you know what? AIM All shares up. Interest rates going down tend to help small micro cap, nano caps more than bigger caps. So we'll see. But yeah, AIM is up a little bit today, and it's breaking back into a range, which was support, broke down below it. It became resistance, and now it's sort of breaking back into that. By the way, five members of the MPC committee, Monetary Policy Committee on the Bank of England, voted for a rate cut. 4 voted to keep rates unchanged. What are you talking about? High interest rates also have an impact on inflation. They must understand that. They must understand that there's a lot of renters in our economy. When you keep interest rates high, or higher than normal, in fact, you could argue they're not higher than normal, but landlords, you know, who are mortgage sensitive, put their rent up. That's inflationary. Anyway, so this is what the Bank of England say. I never think they speak in proper English. It's almost like if I read it 2 or 3 times, and I'm like, what the heck are you talking about? It's almost like you have to go to a special school, the pompous school of financial talk jargon. You know, the pompous school of financial jargon talk. CPI inflation has fallen since the previous meeting. It's quite straightforward. To 3.2%. Although above the 2% target, it's now expected to fall back towards target more quickly in the near term, reflecting restrictive monetary policy and consistent with evidence of subdued economic growth and a building slack in the labour market, pay growth and services price inflation have continued to ease. Do you know what annoyed the heck out of me today? The hell out of me! The bejeebies out of me! Rachel Reeves. Well, this is what she tweeted. Today's interest rate cut is the 6th since the election, the fastest pace of cuts in 17 years, and good news for families with mortgages and businesses with loans. You can't take credit for that, love. The Bank of England, first and foremost, is independent. They look at the data, and it may be directly or indirectly influenced by policy. I'll remind, you know, you and her of the influence her policies have had. This is what the Bank of England said. Consistent with evidence of subdued economic growth and building slack in the labour market. That means people are not getting jobs, people are being laid off. That's the slack. Pay growth and service price inflation have continued to ease. Well, of course they have. No one's employing. When there's a very competitive, you know, jobs market, people want to attract, you know, good talent. They pay up for it. When there's a slack job market and plenty of people unemployed, they don't have to, you know, push their wages up to attract people. There's plenty of people unemployed. So the only influence Labour has had is by messing up the economics of this country, for heaven's sake. How could you take credit for that? Do you know, it's like a, it's almost, just drives you nuts. It's like Reeves, and I've used this analogy before, I'm sure I have. It's like Reeves setting fire to a house and then taking the credit for calling the fire brigade who puts it out. That's what it's like. And you say to her, well, hang on a sec. And she would, look, the fire brigade has come very quickly and they put the fire out. And you say, yeah, but you started the fire. Yes, but I also had a hand in putting the fire out. But hang on, if you hadn't started the fire, we wouldn't need the fire brigade. Yes, but you imagine if I hadn't called them. It's like, what? Are you insane? That's what she's... It's just nuts, isn't it? I understand on Twitter or X, whatever it is, there's PR people doing this. But I think partly they must do this, the PR people, to wind people up. They've certainly got me, anyway. When are we going to see any positivity from Labour's policies? Are we going to see any at all? They can't do as bad a job, surely, in 2026. Something has to give. The only thing that's going to help is interest rates coming down. And like I say, they're coming down because inflation is dropped a bit because of, you know, wage inflation dropping. Why? Because the labour market's knackered. I just can't see how she keeps her job. And yet the policies she's enforced has caused so many people to lose their jobs. US inflation. The markets are rallying in America today. They had some numbers out. Price increases in the US eased in recent months as costs for items including hotels, milk, and some kinds of clothing fell. Well, there you are. If you're a fan of drinking milk in your hotel room and ordering clothes, you're okay there. The latest figures from the Labour Department showed prices rose by 2.7% over the 12 months to November. That pace was down from 3% in September and lower than many analysts had expected, which was 3.1%. I don't understand that. It's a big miss, that. So last month, for the 12 months, it was 3%. Analysts were forecasting it go up to 3.1%, and it dropped to 2.7%. How can they be that far off? And these were delayed figures. I just think, are these figures right? Or has Trump been in there messing around with meddling? Just put it down. Put it down. Put it down 2.7%. Yeah. But anyway, this potentially bolsters the case for the US Central Bank to continue cutting interest rates. As part of me thinks, calm down a sec. Inflation's a very erratic monster. You know, when you think you've nailed it and killed it, it's a little monster that goes underground for a little bit. And then it waits. Everything's, oh, inflation monster's dead. Yes. Just jumps out. I'm back. So it is very sticky and very erratic, inflation. So I think, okay, we are at sort of neutral rate or getting towards that, you know. By that, I mean, you know, neutral rate is where it's neither, you know, restrictive or expansive. So it doesn't, you know, it's right in the middle of there. So we are getting to that, I suppose, aren't we? 3.5%. I mean, long term, I think interest rates, if you look at long term, the average is about. Let me have a look, actually. What is the average for interest rates in the UK? Of course, we're used to that ridiculous time where we had very low interest rates. Let's have a look. For the last 50 years. Let's go 50 years, because you can't count that fair. Over the last 50 years, the UK interest rates have seen some extreme highs, peaking around 17% in 1979 to 80 to fight inflation, and lows of 0.1% in 2020. Roughly high single digits to low single digits, much the 80s. Hard to pinpoint, but somewhere between 4 and 6% when considering those extremes. So, yeah, so the extremes skew it a little bit, don't they? But, yeah, we are, you know, around about average for the last 50 years. But, yeah, I don't remember the interest rates of 79, 80. Because I was, in 1979, I was 8. At 8, you don't really care about interest rates, do you, too much? You know, my kids now don't care about them. But yeah, I definitely obviously remember the ridiculously lowest interest rates ever, for the longest period ever, from what, 2009, 2021. Crazy. Okay, let's quickly look at the markets here. It's just markets just closed over here in the UK, just gone 4:30. So let's have a look. FTSE 100 up 0.65% to 9,838. Come on, let's get to 10,000. Remember, the Santa Rally is officially the last 7 trading days of the year. So we're now into that now, going from today, including today. Stock 600 up 0.93% to 5,85. The S&P 500 up 1.36%. That's off the back of that low inflation figure. 6,813. The FTSE small cap up at 31%, 7,428. The Russell 2000 small cap indices in America up 1.21%, 2,522. The FTSE 250 up 2/3 of 1%, 0.66, 22,311. NASDAQ up 1.94%, 23,134. What else we got here? Dow Jones Industrial Average up just shy of 1%, 0.94, at 48,335. What else we got? The FTSE All World Index up 1% to 662. And the AIM All Share up 0.6% to 755.98. That is back in the support. That was support that, you know, that was broken down below. So it's getting back into that. We may be on track for a Santa rally. Who knows? Who knows? Let's look at commodities here. Brent crude oil futures up 31%, $60, 0.35. Gold up 0.65%, 4,402. All-time high. Copper futures up 31% to $5.45 an ounce. A pound, not an ounce. By the way, that's, of course, gold is $4,403 an ounce. What else we got? Anything else there? Let's look at Bitcoin. Bitcoin's up 2.2% at 88,122. Dollar index is down, a little bit weaker. Dollar, I heard a stat there, and dollar's been the weakest it's ever been for like 30 years, something like that. That helps a lot of commodities, of course, a lot of other indices. Let's look at the yields on the UK government bonds. The two-year, it's up 0.5% to 3.736. The 10-year is up, well, it's flat, at 4.47% yield there. And the 30-year is actually down just shy of 0.5% to 5.2%. Now, it did peak down the other day. I got an alert, and it hit sort of 5.15. So it is edging lower now. We are below the 200-day moving average. It seems to be rolling over, which is generally very good for the economy, for, you know, stock markets. If we can get these interest rates down, let's get them down. Let's get them all the way down. I don't think it'll be inflationary. A pound will buy you €1.14. It'll buy you $1.33. Okay, let's go to sharepickers.com. The microcap database, of course, I didn't do a podcast yesterday because of it was the live Wednesday weekly webinar. What did I cover yesterday? Yes, how to be a better investor in 2026. You know, it's all about sticking to your rules. You know, having your rules, you know they work, then the emotions of us being as a human takes over sometimes. We buy something, we know, I broke my rules, and it goes wrong. And then, ah! So you need to make mistakes sometimes. Even if they are mistakes you already know about, just to reinforce, you know, what you've done wrong. It's like sometimes you need to, if you're a skier, go off piste, and then you need a fall. I'm not going to go off piste again. Dangerous. I'm not that good. Not the same with investing, with being good and bad, but it's just about discipline. Discipline, it's all it's about. And it's very hard to discipline when it's the market's not going anywhere, not moving. So what's yesterday? What was yesterday? 17th. Synectics came out with a full year trading update. In fact, Pete from the Weekend Podcast, which used to do many years ago, did say, strong trading update here. And I thought, I don't know if it is. This was pre-market. They said revenues of 68 million versus 55.8, adjusted PBT of no less than 6 million versus 4.7, which is very good. Then there's a slight caveat they've inserted here. They said, this performance includes the delivery of a significant non-recurring gaming contract in the Southeast Asia, previously highlighted in the group's interim results, which contributed approximately 12 million to the financial year 25 revenue. Thinking, oh, okay. So that's one off. So laying the groundwork there suggests to me that 2026 may not be as impressive without the one-off big contracts. They also say, as a result of this big contract being removed, the order book due to delivery is not as large as last year. As of the 30th of November 2025, the group had an order book of approximately 26.5 million, and it was 35.1 previously. So the brokers have not updated their forecast yet. There's no broker note. They've just changed brokers. They've gone from, I think, one broker to Singers. And so we're waiting to see this. But previously, you take 12 million out of that. I don't know. I mean, so, yeah. So for 2025, expected 67 million in revenue. That's 20% top line growth. Net profit growth of 4.5 million. That's 42% profit growth. That's on a PE of 8 now. Six. Now for 26, old figures were 70.5 million top line, which is 5% on 25 growth, and 4.8 million net profit, which is 7% growth on that 4.5. And that would be a PE of 8.6. But I mean, that's going to drop, of course. But I think they've dropped enough now. The share price has taken a bit of a tanking. So we'll see. I mean, the share price will settle down anyway, but we'll see what the update says. So that was Synectics, of course, leader in advanced security and surveillance systems. They're very, very similar kind of model, not as much recurring revenue as Journeo. They do supply the hardware, or they can use other people's hardware, plus they have software as recurring revenue. But they are trying to increase that recurring revenue side of it. But, let's see. What else? Springfield Properties, SPR, agreement with SSEN Transmission, trading update. So Springfield Property Group is one of the largest home builders in Scotland. It's country of incorporation. Anyway, at 123 a share, they are 145 million market cap, 166 million enterprise value. So they announced, what was it? Agreement with SEN. And so let me just open this up. It's an agreement with an energy infrastructure to deliver 300 homes. So Scottish Hydro Electricity and Transition had to commence the delivery of almost 300 homes in the north of Scotland as part of SSEN's transmission investment programme to upgrade the national electricity transmission grid to help deliver UK energy security. So what they're doing is they build these homes, initial agreement... they'll be leased for an initial 4-year period to accommodate workers from this doing this energy upgrade, this grid upgrade. So SPR's story is about sort of a projected £100 billion of energy security infrastructure investment from 2025 to 2040. It's set to stimulate demand for housing, reflected in the Highland Council aiming to effectively double housing output to 24,000 homes over the next decade. As with the deal here today, the model will be for infrastructure companies to agree to lease over a set period a certain amount of homes from SPR. These leases provide capital to cover opening site costs. The rental income will then cover some of the building costs. At the end of the lease period, SPR can sell the homes. But profit growth from this project is expected to be realised in 2028. Until then, there's no growth really, although SPR is still profitable. So of 26, they're expected to do revenue of 243.8 million, down 13% on 25, and 8.4 million in net profit, down 40% on 25. PE of 17, EV earnings of 20. Now, for 2027, again, top line contracts by 10% to 220.3 million, and net profit contracts by 6% to 7.9 million. A PE of 18, EV earnings of 21. But then for 2028, it's where it sort of kicks in, these infrastructure deals, I think, or starts to. So, top line still goes down by 7% to 204 million, but net profit jumps by 70% to 13.4 million, which was a PE of 11, EV earnings of 12. So maybe worth a watch. I mean, all property groups. This is one of the first property groups that sort of rallied on this story because it's been touted around. But where are they at the moment? Did they come off here? Let's have a look. It's had a breakout. A previous resistance at 112. It's broken above that. It's now at 125 a share. So it's done quite well there, SPR. But if it has a dip, maybe worth watching because this is when it kicks in, 28, 29, 30. They should be doing very well. You put that in conjunction with interest rates coming down. And, of course, a buoyant housing market. Even better. I'm going to ignore some others here. Let's go to Techmar, shall we? Techmar, second 8 million euro contract. What is this? Offshore wind contract. They protect the cables. They've got casings. And I think it's their 10th. What's it called? It secured a significant contract in excess of 8 million euros with an existing engineering, procurement and construction customer. The scope of the work comprises the supply of Techmar's 10th generation cable protection system and associated ancillaries for a major UK offshore wind farm. So just to let you know, of course, this is what they do. They collaborate with its partners to deliver robust and sustainable engineering-led solutions that enable the world's energy transition. Through offshore energy and marine civils, all that stuff. 10 pence a share, 13.6 million market cap, 16.4 million enterprise value. So they've got a bit of debt there. This company's had a hard time. But it's bounced off the bottom here. It did, the chart did go down to sort of 4.5 pence, or even 4 pence back in May. But it was more than double that now. It's at 10 pence. So second £8 million contract, $8 million contract. In the trading update in September, they did state the conversion of these orders, because they've had another $8 million, and they've had another sort of $10 million as well. They've had a few of these contracts. And they say the conversion to orders has been slower than anticipated, with customers' procurement decisions taking longer. These delays have had a corresponding impact on the expected financial outturn for the second half of 2025. The board continues to expect improved revenue and EBITDA generation in the second half of the year, albeit at a lower level than previously anticipated. Anyway, for 2025, expected 29.8 million top line, that's down 9%, and a loss of 2.9 million. 2026, 30% top line growth, 38.6 million, up 30%. But still loss making it 300k loss, net loss. And then in 2027, expected to do 37% top line growth again to 52.8 million with profit here of 1.9 million. And that would put about 10 pence a share on a PE of 7. Of course, that's a long way off, but maybe worth a watch. Maybe worth a watch there. Anything else? That's Techmar. Chesterfield is quite an interesting one. Chesterfield Special Cylinders. Was founded on its leading market position as a designer and manufacturer of high-pressure systems serving the global energy, defence and industrial gases market. So at 39 pence a share, they are 15 million market cap, 12.9 million enterprise value. And these final results, yes. So let's have a scroll down here. So revenue up 12%, 16.6 million. Net loss of 617K, that's down from 2.35 million loss. Net cash of 2.13 million versus net debt of 884K. Free cash flow of 3.5 million versus 209,000. So that's up 1,577%. There were, you know, these results were an improvement on last year. Revenue increased, losses dropped significantly, and they went to a net cash position. CSC is a very specialised company providing high-pressure systems serving the global energy, defence and industrial gases market. Part of their end markets for their hydrogen cylinders is defence market, specifically submarines and ships. While most obvious defence-related companies have rallied strongly, CSC has not really moved. Well, it has recently jumped up, apart from a rally on the day it announced its new, the UK announced its new defence budget on the 2nd of the 6th, 25. The government, by the way, UK government, pledges to raise defence spending 2.5% of GDP by 27 to 28, aiming for 3% by the next parliament, which includes building up to 12 attack submarines. This would benefit them. So, 2026, 18% top-line growth expected to 19.5 million, still making a loss of 100K. But 2027, again, top-line double-digit growth, 23% at 24 million. Now in a profit, 700K, puts them on a PE of 22, 19 EV earnings. And then for 2028, again, more double-digit top-line growth to 28 million and a profit of 1.6 million net expected, which is a 9 on a PE. So it looks good. Worth a look, I think. But like I said, they've got a couple of years of loss, or next year's a loss and this year's a loss, but next year's a loss, 26, and then profit for 27, small profit, 28, more substantial. But I think it's a specialist company, so quite a high barrier to entry, I'd expect, here. So that's Chesterfield Special Cylinders, CSC. It has rallied a little bit recently on these results, I think, today. Let's have a look. But worth a little dabble. But it's still in this sort of resistance level at around about 42 pence. Now, if they can break that, it'd be good news. But 39 pence today, so they did rally a bit. So it's had a strong rally from 34 pence here to 42 pence the last few sessions. But if it comes back, maybe worth a tickle. Worth a tickle! But do your own research. That's it. Thanks for listening. I'll do one tomorrow. Last one of the week tomorrow, of course, because it's a Friday. Oh, I know my days of the week. Don't you worry about that. Yeah. I know what comes after Monday. No problem. And a Thursday. A bit stuck in between. Sharepickers.com. £2.88 a week is the price. You've got 40% off. That'll end at the end of this year. Check it out. That's the price of a Savaloy. That's all it is. Thanks for listening. Muchos appreciado.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
What does leadership really look like? On The Power of Advice, a new podcast series from Capital Group, you'll hear from athletes, entrepreneurs, and executives who've led on the field, in the boardroom, and in their communities. It's not about titles. It's about impact. Discover what drives them and the advice they carry forward. Subscribe and start listening today. Published by Capital Client Group, Inc.
If you run a Shopify store, listen up. Shopify has got you covered for selling, but when your shipping volume grows and you're juggling multiple plugins just to get orders out the door, you need tools that can keep up. Stop duct taping your shipping workflow and use the tools that work better together, like Shopify and ShipStation. Think of ShipStation as Shopify's dedicated shipping partner. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels to save you time and money by automating the entire order fulfillment process. From syncing your orders all the way through inventory management and returns, automate the rate browser to select the lowest rates on shipments with discounts up to 90% off major carriers like USPS, UPS, and FedEx. No wonder businesses that use ShipStation grow 3 times faster on average and ship 15 times more orders. See how ShipStation can help you scale and boost your Shopify sales. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.